Well, last week we began looking at, since this is the month of our nation's birthday, being a citizen by the book. And we saw that as Christians, we hold a dual citizenship. No matter what country you call your country, you hold a dual citizenship. You are a citizen of that country. And according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. And so we are citizens of that country as well. And we also learned that as citizens of heaven and earth, there are four major responsibilities that we who call ourselves Christians have toward our citizenship here on this earth. Remember, they all rhyme: obey, pay, pray, and sway. Now, last week we saw the obey and the pay part. We are to obey our government. We are to obey our laws as much as we can. By that we mean if ever or whenever our government commands us to do something God has forbidden, then we say, we must obey God rather than man, as Peter said. But also, if the government forbids us to do something that God has commanded, we disobey. And we say we must obey God rather than man, and we must be willing to suffer the consequences. We saw that in examples in the Bible. Peter and the apostles were forbidden to preach and teach in the name of Jesus, and Peter said, we must obey God rather than man, and they were beaten and released. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whom people commonly call what? Yeah, those ungodly Babylonian names. We prefer to call them Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were commanded to bow in Daniel chapter 3 before an idol, a golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And those three courageous Jewish youths said, we will not bow down. Our God is able to deliver us from that burning fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and worship the gods you have sent up. So our obedience has boundaries attached to it. And it all refers and reflects upon how far we are willing to obey God. And then we also saw we are to pay our taxes. I wish that wasn't in the Bible, but it is. Pay revenue to whom revenue is due. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 13, and he also said, pay respect. So we are to pay our revenue to governmental leaders, but we also are to pay our respect to them. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the last two of those four, and that is pray and sway. Tony Evans tells the story of a fisherman who was not in particularly good fellowship with the Lord. He was at sea with some godless companions, and they were in trouble when a storm arose, and they were fearful that their boat was going to be swamped and perhaps even sink. And the godless companions looked at this Christian and said, pray, pray to us, and pray, excuse me, pray to God for us. And that man said, fellas, I've not been in good fellowship with God for a long time. I haven't prayed in a long time. In fact, I haven't even been to church in 15 years. But I'll do what I can. And so the man bowed his head and said, Lord, I know I've been out of fellowship with you. And I haven't been in touch with you for 15 years. But Lord, if you will help me this time and bring us safely to land, then I promise I won't bother you again for another 15 years. I don't think that's what we mean, or the Bible means, by praying. To be a good citizen, we must pray. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. In verses 1 through 4, we see this instruction and exhortation for all of us who claim the name of Christ to pray. Notice in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2, the priority of prayer. First three words. First of all. Prayer needs to be a priority. And our priority is to pray all kinds of prayer for all kinds of people. Notice as he goes on in this verse, pray all kinds of prayer. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made. Four different types of prayer the Apostle Paul enumerates in that verse. He says, pray specifically. All kinds of supplications. The word supplication has the idea of a specific request for a specific need that is keenly felt. You may have heard this expression before. The prayer that aims at nothing will hit it every time. Pray specifically. One of the most often used words that basically says nothing is bless. And I know I use that in my prayers way too much. Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, bless such-and-such. Lord, bless, 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 bless. What do I mean by that? What do you mean by that? Rather than, Lord, bless, just ask the Lord to do what you're asking him to do. Say, Lord, change that person's heart. Lord, move in that person's life. But not only do we pray specifically, we are to pray generally. I urge that supplications, prayers, this is the general, ordinary word used for any reverent address to God. It's the word used, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Always find yourself in an attitude, an atmosphere of prayer. Kind of like Peter, the apostle. He saw Jesus one day walking on water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come on. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water toward Jesus. You remember the story? I believe it's in Matthew chapter 14. And all of a sudden he started looking around at his circumstances, the waves and the wind. And as he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. But you know what? To Peter's credit, he must have been in the attitude and atmosphere of prayer, because he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached down and saved him. Some Christians would have had to say, "Lord, I come to you now confessing my filthy mouth and my filthy ideas and mind, my bad attitude, my anger to my wife, blah, 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 blah." Right down to the bottom. No, Peter could pray immediately, and he was heard. Then we are to pray not only specifically and generally, but personally. Intercessions, the scripture says. Intercessions, this word is a technical term for approaching a king. And so it means seeking the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. You intercede for someone. And so you pray personally for that individual or that group of people. Then finally, we are to pray thankfully. With thanksgivings be made. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. You remember verse 17, pray without ceasing? Verse 18, the very next verse, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving ought to be a significant part of our prayers. Do you spend more time begging God for things than you do thanking God for things? Well, I don't have much to be thankful for. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Then that's huge. Be thankful to God that He's rescued you from hell and judgment. And I think once you start thinking along those lines, you'll find yourself rolling over more and more things for which to be thankful. So we are to, first of all, pray all kinds of prayer. Secondly, part of that first of all is we pray all kinds of prayer for all kinds of people. Look at the end of verse 1. All these kinds of prayer be made for all people. You pray for your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, all these kinds of prayer for them. But notice, he narrows the funnel a little bit more in verse 2. For kings and all who are in high positions. So we pray for our governmental authorities. Here in our country, obviously, it wouldn't be kings. It would be our president or our governor or locally our mayor and all those in positions of authority, Congress, our state representatives, as well as our aldermen that represent us locally. We pray for them. What? Supplications, intercessions, general prayers for them, as well as thanksgiving. That is what we are to pray for all people. Why? Why should we pray for our governmental leaders? Well, he goes on and gives us in verses 2-4 the purpose of prayer. That, near the end of verse 2 or the middle of verse 2, we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the purpose of prayer, and there is a fourfold result of prayer in this passage. Notice, we pray this way so that we may lead a peaceful life. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. The word peaceful has the idea of tranquility that arises from without. And quiet has the idea of tranquility that arises from within. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tell us about this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We'll lead a peaceful life. Secondly, we'll lead a pious life. Now, I know the word pious kind of has a negative connotation in a lot of people's minds. Oh, they're so pious, or, you know, what a pious prude and all that other stuff. The word translated pious simply means devout. They're devout in their practices. They're devout in their relationship with God, and they're dignified in their manner of life as a Christian. Not only a peaceful life and a pious life, they'll lead a pleasing life. Verse 3, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. You know, God is pleased when you pray for everyone, but especially your governmental leaders. That pleases God. Why? Because the fourth purpose, the fourth result. You'll lead a purposeful life. Verse 4. God, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, praying for our country, praying for our leaders, praying for one another provides the best atmosphere for evangelism. And God desires folks to come to know Him. What about being a citizen by the book who sways? You know, when I say sway, I don't mean, you know, what our choir does and stuff like that when they sing, or even some of you. I got you. I watch you. I know who you are. No, the idea of sway is influence. The natural extension of prayer is involvement. Many people say, when you ask them to do something or ask them to get involved, their answer comes back, well, I'll pray about it. Which being interpreted is, and that's all I intend to do about it. No. Real prayer, genuine prayer, means raising your hand and doing as we sang, send me out into the world to make you known. Lord, I want to get involved in what you're doing. Now we see this by biblical and historical examples. Notice a couple biblical examples. Nehemiah. Nehemiah asked about Jerusalem's condition. And it was reported to Nehemiah how Jerusalem, the walls were knocked down, the gates were burned with fire, and it was held in reproach from all the surrounding nations. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, he began praying. Began at verse 5. At verse 11, he finished. And notice what Nehemiah 1:11 says. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was cupbearer to the king. Now lest you misunderstand Nehemiah's position, being cupbearer to the king was a position of great influence. He was one of the chief advisors to the king. Because you see, as cupbearer, that person would be the last person to have the cup of wine to give to the king. If it was poisoned, so long cupbearer, long live the king. And so the cupbearer was a greatly trusted person. And Nehemiah asked from his position of influence to give favor before the king to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem, which is what the rest of the book is all about. But not only Nehemiah in the Old Testament, how about Jesus and the disciples in the New Testament? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, you hear this passage preached all the time from missionaries. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus called the disciples to pray for laborers. The very next verse, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the scripture says, in Matthew 10, verse 1, he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. What Jesus called the disciples to do, he called, and that was pray, he called the disciples to do. In a very small town, pastor of a church was burdened because of a liquor store that had opened up in town. And so he called the whole church to gather to pray against that liquor store opening up in their sleepy little town. And many from the church came, and they prayed. Well, a couple hours after the prayer meeting, when the pastor was at home, he got a phone call. The liquor store was on fire. And so he ran down to the liquor store where it was and saw one of his elderly members handcuffs behind her back, being loaded into the back of a patrol car. And he said, "Dear sister, what's going on?" She said, "Pastor, I put feet to my prayers." When we're talking about swaying, we're talking about putting feet to your prayers. It's as D.L. Moody used to say, the gospel in shoe leather. What about historical examples? Just one to share with you. If you've ever seen the movie Amazing Grace, you know it's the story about William Wilberforce, who was a member of the British Parliament. And Wilberforce said these two things, among many others: "God Almighty has set before me two great objects, the suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of morality in Great Britain." He also stated, "If to be feelingly alive to the sufferings of my fellow creatures is to be a fanatic, I am one of the most incurable fanatics ever permitted at large." After many struggles and trials and setbacks, 3 days before Wilberforce died on July 29th, 1833, slavery was banned in Great Britain. To be a citizen by the book means we pray and sway, influence. Pray, brothers and sisters, all kinds of prayer for all kinds of people. Sway. Become an agent for good in this world. Do you have a position of authority? Use it for good. Has Christ called you to fulfill his mission? Put feet to your prayers. I saw yesterday posted on Facebook, Mary showed it to me, Jesse Lewis, member of our church, along with a number of other men, went to a penitentiary and played softball with the inmates and shared their testimonies and their witness. 22 inmates trusted Christ as Savior. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's becoming a person of influence. That's putting feet to your prayers. Chris Boone, that big ugly guy sitting over there next to that lovely lady, Neela, has for several years encouraged men at special metals. And if you've ever worked in a factory, you know the kind of atmosphere a factory can have. But he has encouraged men for several years to read the Bible through. This year, their number was down a little bit because of the strike they went through. But he estimated about 45 men are reading the Bible through. Some just the New Testament, some the entire Bible. Yeah, give the Lord a hand for that. That's great. That's swaying. Folks, just because the Supreme Court has struck down Roe versus Wade does not mean there will be no more ladies experiencing a crisis pregnancy. One of our own members oversees the Two Hearts crisis pregnancy in Ashland, Sandy Bellamy. See, she's putting feet to her prayers. She's not just speaking pro-life, she's doing pro-life. What's God calling you to be? What's God calling you to do? Is he calling you to minister to the homeless? Talk to Papa Smurf down here, this guy in the lime green shirt. Notice his wife is sitting one seat removed from him. And most of the time, I don't blame her for that. Here it is. He just told me this before the service. Pastor, I'm going to tell you the shortest nursery rhyme you've ever heard. Once upon a time, there was a man who asked a woman to marry him. She said no, and he lived happily ever after. That's why there's deceit in between you. Okay, now that answers a whole lot. That had absolutely nothing to do with the sermon. But Papa Smurf ministers down on the street with homeless people. Has an incredible ministry to folks. I mean, that's his street name. As you look at his chin, you see why they call him that. See, folks, it's one thing to God just help the homeless, but it's something else again to get involved, to be an agent of change. And you know, the Bible was written during a time of mostly kings and emperors and very heavy top-down authority. We live in a free country. We have the privilege. The least you can do to get involved is to vote, right? God help you if you're a Christian and you do not. Exercise your freedom to vote. Now, if you vote for the wrong man, go ahead and stay home. But no, I'm teasing. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Get involved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you've given us these callings, really, these responsibilities as citizens of our country. Lord, help us obey whenever we can. Help us to pay whatever we should. Help us to pray all the time. And then, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be people of influence, to be people who will sway not only our local area, but our state, and yes, God, perhaps even our national. Lord, that takes the influence and power of your Holy Spirit. None of us can do that in and of ourselves, but we don't have to. You've given us the omnipotent power of God living within us. So, Lord, help us to be people who will influence our own little world, whether it's a factory or an office or a city. God, may we exercise our rights and privileges as Christian citizens. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.